Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, I don't know if you remember, we had an election recently.
I remember bits and pieces, sure.
Do you remember prior to the election, no one thought our current president was going to win?
Right.
I mean, there were people, but for the most part, people thought Hillary Clinton was going to walk away with
this. All the experts thought it would be Hillary Clinton. All the polls said it would be Hillary Clinton. But one man said the opposite.
Well, our next guest has correctly predicted every single solitary presidential election, the winner of the election since 1982. And Alan Lichtman is on the phone with us right now. And, sir, we remember talking to you, and you said President Donald Trump will be President Donald Trump. You were correct again.
Indeed. And I was correct because I didn't listen to the conventional wisdom. I didn't follow the polls.
Why not?
I didn't look at because polls are snapshots. They're not predictors. They are abused and misused as predictors. And all of those polls had to figure out also who was going to be a likely voter. And there was no clear way to make that kind of determination. So when they tell you the error in the polls is plus and minus 3%, that presumes everything else about the poll is correct, including their likely voter screen.
Alan,
so the real error is much larger.
I know that a magician never reveals his secrets, but you're obviously doing something right to have predicted every presidential race since 1982. So I know you just gave us a little bit of an outline, but you're seeing something that no one else is seeing. So what is it that you're seeing?
Yeah, my system is called the Keys to the White House. It's a formal mathematical model, and it is unique in that it pays no attention to polls, pundits, or even the events of the campaigns, or even much attention to the candidates itself. Rather, the theory behind the polls, behind my keys, that I developed by studying every American election from 1860 to 1980, is that American presidential elections are primarily referenda on whether or not the party holding the White House should get four more years. And my 13 keys to the White House looks at the strength and performance of the party holding the White House. And irrespective of the Trump candidacy, I was able to discern many vulnerabilities of the incumbent Democrats. They took a pasting in the midterm elections. They had these pesky third-party candidates running way over their heads. They were defending an open seat. They had a contentious nomination struggle. The Obama administration didn't follow up the Affordable Care Act with a comparable domestic achievement in the second term, given Republican opposition. They didn't follow up the dispatch of bin Laden with a comparable foreign policy triumph in the second term. So I kept my eye on the big picture, and that is the magician's secret.
Alan, does this play a role in it? Because all the experts that I've seen the past couple months all say the same thing, that Hillary Clinton ignored states or didn't pay the proper respect or time in the states that she just assumed would naturally go her way, and they didn't. Do you think that was a factor or not?
No, I think that's a lot of nonsense. So there's no evidence that campaign appearances in states have significant effects on the outcome. I predicted the results in September long before these events had unfolded, so I couldn't have had my prediction turn on anything like that. And by the way, she visited Pennsylvania, a pretty reliable Democratic state, in presidential elections many times and still didn't win Pennsylvania.
How do polls work necessarily? Doesn't somebody just call and say, who are you voting for? And can't people lie in the polls?
There are so many problems with polls. A, people can lie. B, you can get your likely voter screen wrong. C, people can hang up and not answer your questions, and that could influence the sample. And there are still issues with contacting people on cell phones. Even old dinosaurs like me operate on cell phones nowadays. I don't even have a landline.
Yeah, I don't know why I hang on to mine. Bill, you have too, but
yeah, we still have it just in case.
We have a bunch of people texting, and it could be my mistake, but on your press sheet for the new book, which we will talk about in just a second, it says that you have predicted every presidential election, the winner of every election since 1982, and a bunch of people are texting us saying there was no presidential election in 1982.
84, yeah. Then, right?
84. It should say 84.
Yeah. Was this, of all those elections, Alan, was this the easiest or the hardest or somewhere in the middle to predict?
Oh, this was far and away the hardest election to predict for several reasons. number one, you had in Donald Trump an absolute precedent-breaking candidacy, right? You had commentators saying virtually every day Trump is doing things that would have driven any other candidate out of the race. You know, for example, the Access Hollywood tape found a presidential candidate bragging about sexually assaulting women, and some one dozen women accused him of sexual assault, harassment, and voyeurism. Surely that might have been enough to drive any normal candidate out of the race. His racist comments about a federal judge. We can go on and on. His claiming he wouldn't necessarily accept the results of the election. That made it very, very difficult. And there were a lot of close calls on the keys as well, such as, do you count the contest between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders as a real contest? Because she won it pretty handily. But it certainly was a very contentious nomination struggle. So this is a very hard call. Normally, I make my calls much earlier. I called the very difficult-to-call 2012 election. Very late, you know, Romney was even or ahead in the polls. I called that in 2010. I called the 2008 election in 2005. In fact, I became notorious for saying things are so bad for the Bush administration that the Democrats could pick a name out of the phone book and elect that person president. And that's kind of what they did, right? Who had heard of Barack Obama back in 2005?
Right, sure. And then, Alan, when you did go out on that limb and say your prediction that it would be Donald Trump as our next president, I remember everybody going, well, boy, Alan Lichtman is nuts. He's crazy. What is he thinking? Was that a difficult couple of weeks for you, or how did you survive through that?
It was a difficult few months for me because I made the prediction in September, and then I doubled down on it in October. Look, I teach at American University in Washington, D.C., not exactly a hotbed of Trump support, is it?
No.
And, you know, people would say, you know, where are you going to get, where'd you get your degree from, Professor Lichtman? Mail order? You know, is American University going to get rid of you when you're proven to be wrong? Of course, I have something nice called tenure, but I wasn't wrong. But I took a lot of flack, as you can imagine. And people don't understand. These are predictions.
Right.
They're not endorsements.
Exactly. In fact, when we spoke to you, when all the presses came out that you have been right since 1984 and you've predicted Donald Trump winning, I remember you saying, reluctantly, I am telling you that Donald Trump will be our next president.
That's right. I certainly have not endorsed, did not endorse him. And I've picked over time an equal number of, about an equal number of Republican and Democratic wins. And of course, whenever I pick a Republican win, the Democrats think I'm a big traitor. Whenever I pick a Democratic win, the Republicans say I'm nothing more than a Democratic tool. So what I've managed to do over the years is get everyone in America mad at me.
Congratulations. That must feel wonderful. Alan Lichtman is our guest. His new book is called The Case for Impeachment. It was just released. Great book. We'll come back and talk to him about that next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Alan Lichtman is our guest. His book is called The Case for Impeachment, just released. So I know you predicted that Donald Trump would be the president, Alan, and I guess this is the most obvious question in the world, but do you predict that he will also be impeached, or will he remain in office for the 4 years?
No, I predicted that he would be impeached, or at least would not serve his 4 years. He could take the Nixon route out and if confronted with impeachment and possible conviction and resign. And I first made that prediction in September 2016 at the very time that I predicted Donald Trump would win the presidency. And by the way, Donald Trump was very gracious. He sent me a personal note, which I have here framed. It says, congrats, Professor, good call. I don't think he paid attention to the rest of my commentary, though. You know, he doesn't need a whole lot, apparently. But I wrote this book because I do believe that Americans should be worried about our constitutional order, our liberties, our freedoms, and now our national security under a Trump presidency. And I wrote this book as a guide to the American people, going through the history of impeachments, the process of impeachments, Trump's own personal history, that going into the presidency made him uniquely vulnerable to impeachment, and then the events of the first 2 months of his presidency, which seemed to bear out my predictions. And this is addressed to the American people. It's not a partisan book. I don't quote a single Democrat. I don't make my argument based on his political opponents. I don't say he should be impeached if you don't like his policies. you don't like his style. I'm talking about serious transgressions that threaten our country. And it's addressed to the people because ultimately impeachment rests in the hands of the American people. It won't happen unless the people demand it.
The book is called The Case for Impeachment. You can get it on Amazon. It's available. You've also written The Keys to the White House. Alan Lichtman, professor of history, on the line with us at American University. Don't want to give away all your secrets, but give us some of the reasons why he could and you think will be impeached.
Yeah, I lay out 8 specific grounds for impeachment. Each one is a chapter of my book, The Case for Impeachment, and obviously you need to read the book to get the full analysis. Let me just highlight 2 or 3 points, if I may. First of all, I say in the book, there is a Russian sword of Damocles hanging over this administration. There are now 3 investigations going on about possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia's reprehensible and serious attack on our democracy, and possibly, heaven forbid, even collusion involving the president. We don't know what the results of those investigations are going to be, but they could lead to charges of what I call misprision of treason. That is, if Trump knew members of his team were colluding and didn't report it, that's a serious federal crime. And again, of course, if you know, it turns out he had any involvement whatsoever personally, that could lead to the first charge of treason ever leveled against an American president. And that's a specific ground for impeachment under the Constitution. And what troubles me so much is that the administration's response to this whole issue of the Russia connection has all the hallmarks of a Nixonian type of cover-up. And in the book, I point out the many parallels between Donald Trump and Richard Nixon. But look what's gone on. People like Jared Kushner and General Flynn and others have kind of denied contacts with Russia, Russian agents. And, you know, then when it turns out they have had contacts, or, you know, they've deflected, they've deceived, and ultimately tried to claim, well, it was all innocuous anyway. It didn't amount to anything. It's what many have claimed, including Jeff Sessions, now Attorney General. And that sounds to me a lot like what the Nixon administration said. Oh, Watergate was nothing more than a third-rate burglar. Second area is conflicts of interest. I said in the book that if I have a chapter in the book directed to Donald Trump saying how he can avoid impeachment, and one way is to divest all his business interests. He didn't do that. Sure, if he had divested, he would have taken a financial hit, but he still would have been a billionaire, and nobody forced him to run for president. And he has far-flung business interests across the world. We don't know exactly what they are because he's never released his taxes.
He's being audited, Alan. He can't release them. He's being audited. He's explained that to us many times.
Every president has their taxes audited every year.
I know.
And they still release their taxes.
I know.
There's nothing stopping you from releasing taxes under audit. Plus, I'm sure he's got loads of years of taxes that aren't under audit.
Because the audit
has passed. Audits don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
They're not perennial, you know. So he's got all these business interests. We don't know exactly what they are. And there's something called the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. It's kind of an old-fashioned term, but basically it means if you're president, you can't take anything of value from a foreign government, their agents, or foreign-owned banks or corporations controlled by the government. And it's an absolute prohibition. Doesn't require a quid pro quo. It doesn't specify the amount of the emolument. And we know there are enormous potentials for conflicts. He just received, for example, numerous potentially lucrative trademarks from China.
Yep.
Right.
That was at a time where he seemed to be moving away from astute China policy. He's got trademarks there that have to be renewed.
These are for Ivanka's businesses as well, right? For her clothing lines?
She's got trademarks too, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the president himself.
Yeah.
And the envoy to the U.S. from the Philippines, guess what, is head of Trump Tower Manila, where Trump has a financial interest.
A slight conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Right.
And, and the problem is, you know, people like you and me, we shouldn't have to guess where the national interest leaves off and Trump's private pocketbook interests kick in. And he's got all kinds of interests, of course, financially here in the United States, which
sure.
Could be affected by all kinds of Trump decisions on taxes, regulations, labor, trade. the potential for conflicts is inevitable. And the remedy for that is impeachment. And let me give you my edgiest one.
All right, we only have like 30 seconds here, so go with the edgy.
What's the edgiest?
A crime against humanity for turning back the clock on our efforts to fight climate change.
Yeah.
The International Criminal Court has just prioritized crimes against the environment as an area of prosecution. And in 2009, Trump and others sent a letter to President Obama saying the scientific evidence is irrefutable. Unless we take strong action on climate change, we are going to face catastrophic consequences. That's 8 years ago, and things have only gotten worse.
Alan Lichtman has a gift for prognostication. I've never had a guest on the show, Wendy and I never have, that I've wanted to go to Las Vegas more than Alan Lichtman. No way. His new book is called...
You pay my way, I'll go.
All right. It's worth it. The new book is called The Case for Impeachment. It's available everywhere. It just came out this week. Alan, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Hope to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's Alan Lichtman again. The Case for Impeachment is the name of the book. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.